So what series have we been in? What series has Rob been teaching on? Project Jericho. And from the video we just watched, what is the idea of Project Jericho? Yes, sir. To bring the gospel to our schools. That is correct. You summed it up so good, I'm not going to ask for any other people to answer it. So tonight I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to pray really quick before I start, and then I'll talk for a little bit, and we'll finish. So, God, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for the students that are here, God. Thank you for the rain, because we need it, because it's hot. And just thank you for everything you're doing in our lives, God. I pray that your word would just penetrate our hearts, God, that it would change us, God, that we wouldn't just hear your truth and walk away being unchanged, Lord, but it would cause us to move forward, God, and from this point forward, we wouldn't look back and we would live passionately for your kingdom. Thank you for all the leaders that are here, the students. We pray for a lot of the MICS students are on a retreat right now, so we pray for them. Pray for Pastor Rob as he's with them sharing and teaching messages, Lord, that you'd bless that time. And most of all, thank you for your son. It's in his name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going phone mode, so I'm not texting. I'm just using my phone for notes. Is that cool with everyone?
No.
Well, get over it. Just kidding. Just kidding. And I'm going to walk around because the podium's a little short. Rob's a little shorter than me, not by much. But that wasn't a dish. Listen, we're going to talk about this. God created us all different. Rob's just a little bit shorter and better looking than me. Anyways, so I'm just going to walk around if that's cool with you guys. But we're talking about Project Jericho and kind of the quote that Rob sent over to me to kind of explain Project Jericho in a really short sentence is building students up and tearing down walls in local schools. Which that's a great thing. That's something Firehouse has been working on for years. And every 4 years, there's a new batch of students. There's a new group of people. And so we want to make sure that that message hits home to you guys. And that the truth of God's word isn't just reaching you here at Firehouse, but it's reaching your local schools through you guys. So we're going to talk about it a little bit. If you could open your Bibles or open your phones to Ephesians chapter 2. If you're easily distracted or you're an audible listener, just listen to me teach it. You don't have to open it. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 is where we'll be at, and I'll read it for us. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We're going to talk about a lot of different things, but that's our main focal passage. So everything we're going to talk about kind of goes back to that. So if you want to like memorize it, if you want to read it the rest of this week when you wake up in the morning, like, oh yeah, Matt said to read my Bible when I wake up in the morning. If that's something you don't normally do, maybe Thursday and Friday and Saturday morning, you just wake up, open your Bibles, read Ephesians 2:10. If it's something you already do, maybe you can add this into your rotation. But we are his workmanship. And that word workmanship in the like old Greek language, a lot of pastors like to talk about the old languages, so figured I'd jump on the train there. But that word is poiema or poiema, which is where we get our word poem from, like poem. Any poets in the room? Any poets that don't know it? I've heard DJ Matty Flo Flo is a poet, but I've never met him before, so it's just all hearsay. Anyways, so the idea that we are his workmanship is the idea that we are his poem, or we are his work of art. It's the idea of this masterpiece being made, not just this thing, you know, that you make that you're not really proud of, or this thing that you just make that's kind of just like bland. You know what I mean? Like, any chefs in the room? Anybody like to cook? If you couldn't tell, I like to eat. So if you like to eat, you learn to cook. You know what I'm saying? And so there's times where I've made some things many years ago that I was like, that didn't taste that great. But now, because I've had experience and I'm a foodie, most of the stuff I crank out is pretty delicious. And I would say my food that I make is one of my masterpieces, okay? I don't make a whole lot of masterpieces. I'm not this, like, super artistic guy. You know, like, I don't really look artistic, so it kind of, like, goes with it. But there's one thing that I'm decent at, especially when I have certain people around me, and that's sand sculptures. Could we pull the pictures up, please? Okay, so this is one of them. Do we have both or just the one? Okay. So we'll do this one first. So these are some of my family members, okay? This is a hogfish, okay? Most of you probably don't know what that is because you've never, you know, been to the Keys and speared one. But if you turn your head sideways, that's a hogfish. And it's giant. It's like, you know, 12 or 13 feet long. It's really good, okay? The next one. Or the previous one. Can anyone read that? Okay. All right. So that, you know, that was like a plug. But that's a pretty decent looking gator, right? On a scale of 1 to 10, is it below a 7? Okay, that was only one person. So it's pretty decent, okay? So we've been going to this... My family goes to St. Augustine every Labor Day. This was the first Labor Day I haven't gone in, like, my entire life. We've been doing it since I was 5. And then, like, when I grew up and had kids, like, I brought my wife and kids who snuck in and are watching me in the back. So I'll embarrass them. But we've been doing that, like, every single year. So Dorian ruined that. But that's okay because that's, like, the least of my worries. Much worse things happen to people than their vacations getting ruined, so we need to pray for them. But anyways, every year, up until like a couple years ago, every year we would make this like sand masterpiece. One year we made the gator, one year we made the hogfish, one year we made this really sweet dragon. I wish I had photos of that. That was one of the better ones. But every year we make this different masterpiece. Not one of them is ever the same. And then we've tried to, like, recreate ones we've done in the past, and they've never looked like they did the first time because it's just impossible. So that'll come into the story later. What kind of art stuff do you guys like? Who's artistic in here? Yeah, just shout out some stuff that you're artistic with.
Stick dudes.
Stick dudes. You are a stick dude artist. That's awesome. I just saw hand motions that look like a snowman. Anyone else? Eating. You are an eating artist. Is it like leave like artistic work on your face? Okay, that's what I was figuring. So you guys understand the concept of art, right? And a masterpiece and making your own workmanship, right? Let me rein you back in. Let me rein back in your attention. It's okay. I distracted you and got you talking, so it's not a big deal at all. But you guys get the idea of a masterpiece, right? Understand, makes sense, workmanship, you guys got it, okay? So we're God's workmanship, we are his poem, we are his masterpiece. He is actively doing that inside of us if we have a relationship with him. The old self, the self before Christ, the sin-natured, walking in total depravity, not knowing God's self, that's like the work of art that was never a work of art. That's like when you write papers in school and you're like trying to throw it together and it's just like, you're like, nah, you know what I mean? Like you type the first page. You guys probably don't write anymore, right? You just type, like you still write in school? 50-50? Okay. But yeah, I mean, I was a decent student, but there were times where I'd be writing a paper and I'm just like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, nah, that's not super good. And, you know, if I was writing it, I'd crumple it up, throw it away. But our old self is like that non-masterpiece, if that makes sense. Our old self, oh, come on, phone. Our old self, the self that's separated from God, the one that God's not working inside of, is like that non-masterpiece. You look at it and you're just like, nah, like that's not what it's supposed to be. Are you guys following up? Follow me. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'll tell you. This is a peach green tea lemonade sweetened, which this used to be called a citrus defender. In the winter, it's hot, and it's called a citrus defender. In the summer, it's cold, and it's called a peach green tea lemonade.
Can I have it?
You cannot. I digress. So we're talking about these two different masterpieces, kind of the old self, new self. You can't obey God and walk in faith and walk in the works that He has for you and not also at the same time be walking in the Holy Spirit and be renewing your mind. So you can't be this masterpiece if you're not letting God change you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Okay. This was actually an illustration that I heard when I was driving on the way here from a job site. It's by one of the pastors that I kind of like listen to. This guy's name is David Guzik. And he's doing this sermon on Jeremiah 17, and he's talking about the fatality of trusting in man, like trusting in your own ways, trusting in your own self. And he like illustrates it as a car without brakes, like trusting in man, not just like trusting in someone else, like trusting in yourself or trusting in someone other than God, is like a car without brakes. God doesn't have to boom, make that car not work or make it drive off the road or like put a curse on your car. Like the car is going to wreck itself. Like God doesn't have to have anything to do with it. Does that make sense? Someone that is walking in the Spirit and that is trusting God and that is listening to Him and following Him is like that masterpiece that is properly put together, that is making itself work correctly. Okay, does that make sense? So how do we not, if we're using the car illustration, how do we not, which maybe it's a silly illustration, probably less than half of you, probably less than 60, 70% of you in here drive right now. How many of you drive right now? Oh, that's scary.
I drive a mower.
You drive a mower?
Yeah.
Every man starts driving a mower, all right? America, 102. So how do we not, if we want to use that illustration of like crashing the car, how do we not crash the car? Like how if, huh? No, I'm supposed to answer. That was rhetorical. That was rhetorical. I should have said that. Because sometimes when I ask questions, I want you to answer them. So how do we not crash the car? How are we a masterpiece that's put together by God? I'm going to talk about that a little bit. No, I'm going to answer it. Okay. Galatians 5, if you guys could put that up on the... the screens. Thank you. Words. Okay, I'm going to read it to you. Galatians 5, 16. Please pay attention because this is important. I say a lot of unimportant things, but the Word of God is super important. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Okay, so I'm going to read another passage to you real quick, and then we'll talk about both of them. The other one's Romans 12. It's not going to be on the board. We're going to talk about renewing your mind as well. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we're trying to walk in this masterpiece that God is trying to create, right? But we also have to we have to put off this old self, right? The car without brakes. We have to put off that old self. We have two different, things fighting against each other. And so what those two passages are saying is, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to live in that old self, okay? If you're walking in the old self, you cannot please God. You cannot be in the Spirit. You're not going to hear the Spirit working inside of you. We need to walk in the usefulness that He created us for, going back to Ephesians 2. Like, He is creating us. Let me go back and read it. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now I'm scrolling back down. But we're meant to walk in the purposes that He has set up for us. For us. He individually has different purposes and plans for every single one of us. Your purpose and my purpose are not the exact same. And I think that's where a lot of Christians get hung up. Because if they're not looking at the world, then they're looking at another Christian sometimes. And they're thinking, okay, well, I got to do what this guy does. Which, that's a good thing. And in and of itself, that can be a good thing. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So that's a good thing, to take the example of other Christians, but don't try to be another Christian. Like, try to be like Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. So what that's saying is, like, it's good to follow the example of another Christian. It's good to have Rob as a role model in your life. It's good to have your life group leader as a role model in your life. But don't try to become them, because if they crash their car because they get their eyes off of the kingdom and off of God, you're going to follow with them. You're like a trailer, okay? Anyways, sorry, I had to go truck status, talk about trucks. Whatever. Thought I'd get more of a laugh out of that. But He designed you specifically for your purposes. He didn't make you... Is that Bo? What's up, dude? He's probably mad I'm not holding him. When I come home, I'll like pick him up and hold him, and then he'll like immediately look at Jess and just smile like, haha. So he's probably just mad I'm not holding him. But God made you special. God made me special. Look at me. Okay? He didn't make me to be somebody else. He didn't make you to be somebody else. He had very specific things. Looking back on my life, there were a ton of times where I questioned God. God, why did you let this happen to me? Why did that happen to me? Why am I going through this pain? Why? And looking back, especially when I was you guys' age, the stuff that I worried about then was silly. And I know you're like, oh, Matt's another adult, so let's just turn our ears off and he's saying dumb things because he's an adult. But looking back, seriously, a lot of that stuff was just so silly. But I was totally consumed by it. Like, totally, absolutely consumed by it. I was totally swayed by it. But God did certain things in my life, put certain pains in my life, so that I could follow the path that He already set up for me. It said in Ephesians 2, the plan that He had already basically predestined for us to do. But we can't do His plan if we're not walking in faith, if we're not walking in the Spirit. So we're not just these mindless robots that just follows whatever God says. You know, like, you guys know what the butterfly effect is? I'm getting on a side tangent, and I apologize. You guys know what the butterfly effect is? Somebody please explain what the butterfly effect is.
Okay, so it's like, it's basically like one little thing right here can cause like a huge thing later. So like if a butterfly like flapped its wings somewhere, it could like move a little piece of dust like on someone's nose and they sneeze, and then like the president like died because he got a cold, and then that sent the world into a world war and they all die.
Exactly. And that's exactly how I would explain it too. That's like literally exactly what I was thinking. Somehow the president's got to be involved. If you watch too much 24 and too much Designated Survivor, that's immediately where your mind goes. And if you believe in conspiracy theories. I didn't say that. Anyways, but the butterfly effect is this idea that by a simple choice or a simple something that's happening in life, it has ripple effects on everything else. And it could be huge ripple effects. And I totally believe that's true. But I also totally believe that God has a plan for us that He has pre-designated, that He knows we're going to do. Who else believes in that too? So how do the two coincide, right? How do the two coincide? How can there be this total free will that, like, if a butterfly toots and, you know, it shifts the wind and then all of a sudden there's a hurricane, how does that coincide with... I just try and make you guys laugh. I'll probably get in trouble. Rob will yell at me. It's okay. He won't yell at me. Rob's never yelled at me. And then how does that coincide with God has this pre-designated plan that's already planned out that we're going to follow? And I'm probably going to make you angry, because what I'm going to say is I don't really know the answer to that. But I believe both things are true. And I think it points back to what we were saying, is that we have to walk in the Spirit and we have to walk in faith. We cannot be a part of God's plan if we're not listening to the Holy Spirit and He's not changing our hearts, okay? We're not inside that pre-designated plan for our lives. But I also do believe that things do happen in your life that are these total, just crazy things you'd never believe, that this made this happen, that made that happen, and boom, you're 28 years old, you're overweight, and you're standing in front of a bunch of kids. You know what I'm saying? But I think the two coincide totally together, okay? I'll keep going because I feel like I got on a rabbit trail. And I hope that it's blending in with what we're talking about. But again, this is why I believe a lot of Christians struggle with their faith. Because if they're not following the world, if they can get themselves out of that, like, let's just do what the world says cycle, which is super hard, and I struggle with that every day. But then sometimes they look at other Christians. They're like, I got to be like this guy. I got to be like that guy. God's called you to be you, okay? I digress. There's another part in Scripture, and I don't want to go too long because I talk a lot and I forget how long I talk. But there's another part in Scripture in Jeremiah 18 that talks about being a piece of clay. And basically the summary of the story, God's talking to the people of Judah, I believe, or Israel, whatever, doesn't matter, not a Bible scholar. And he's talking about this, God saying, like, this piece of clay is mine to mold, and I can make it do whatever I please. You know, like, have you guys ever watched pottery happen before? Have you ever seen, like, a pottery spinning wheel?
I've played a game.
Okay, a game on your phone. Here we go. We're talking about millennials. Or no, you guys aren't even millennials. You're, like, generation... Z or like double A. You're probably even past Z now. We're probably at like AA. Yeah, you know, the alphabet like repeats itself. See, that's why I didn't want to use my phone. I had an 800 number call me. They got hung up. Anyways, but have you ever watched a piece of pottery be made? It starts as this lump, right? And then like these people have these like massive thumbs, like these super strong thumbs, and they're like molding this pottery, and then they like they'll pull it up, and then they'll like press it down, and they'll like pull it up, and they'll press it down. They're totally like shifting and doing crazy stuff, and then sometimes they like make this big bubble, and then it pops, and then they gotta like start all over again. Like, essentially, we are that in God's hands. And the problem is, if you guys are not walking with God, if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're gonna be like a piece of clay that can't be used anymore. If your heart isn't softened to the Word of God, and the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God can't penetrate into your life anymore, you're a piece of clay that can't be used anymore. Like, it's just so hard that it's done. You guys ever do pottery, like, in school?
No.
No one has ever done pottery in school? Raise your hand if you've done pottery in school.
I've done it.
And they got that cheap gray clay, you know, because it's, like, cheaper than the red stuff. And if you let it sit out for a couple hours, it's like a rock. Like, you throw it at your friend and you get expelled from school. That's how hard it is. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But anyways, let me rein you back in. I got you off topic. I apologize. But in all seriousness, if the Spirit of God is not changing you, if you're not being renewed in your mind like Romans 12 talks about, you're a piece of clay that's unusable. And I am not saying that God cannot change you. Please don't hear that. I am not saying that anyone is too far gone for God to reach out and change. But what I'm saying is, as a Christian, is a very fine line between hearing the Word of God your whole life and never letting it change you. Okay? Does that make sense? Everybody tracking with me?
Yes.
Okay. I'll keep going. I'll try to finish. I hate technology. Technology hates me. Hate's not a good word. My kids are here. I have to say that. And then Isaiah 64 talks a little bit about what I was talking about. And Jeremiah says, "But now, O Lord, you are the Father, we are the clay, and you are potter, and all we are is the work of your hand." And that's my prayer for you guys, that you let yourself be moldable so that the Word of God can change you, and that you would be moldable in the hands of God. Keep going. We're also new creations, okay? So the old self doesn't, like, the old self isn't you anymore, okay? There is this change that has to happen inside of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if we could throw that up real quick. Okay. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation, or he is a new work of art, or he is a new poem," or whatever word you want to throw in there. "The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this from God, through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Everyone say that. The ministry of reconciliation. Sorry, I said it with you. I just wanted to make sure you knew what I wanted you to say. Because I had said several sentences and then I said, "Say it." That's why I'm not a teacher. I'm going to keep going. We're in verse 19, if I haven't lost you already. "That is in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, or we beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." So I feel like this passage goes along really well with Ephesians 2:10. The main thing I want you to understand is verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ, if it was not for Christ, I would not be talking about anything we're talking about. So that just has to be a generalized understanding. If it was not for Jesus, none of this is possible. Okay? "Through Christ, we have been reconciled to God, and because of that, because we have access to God through Jesus, now we have the ministry of reconciliation." Who do you think the "we" is that it's talking about? You think it's talking about pastors only? Do you think it's talking about your parents? It's talking about all of us. Thank you. And this is like a really Sunday school answer I'm trying to pull from you. But you guys have to understand that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. And your job is to spread the message so that other new creations happen. You're supposed to be like a fire that when it touches something, something else catches on fire. Okay? That's the idea. Does that make sense? Okay. So I'm going to reread Ephesians chapter 2. "For we are his workmanship." What's workmanship?
Poem.
Like a poem or a work of art, okay? Yeah, I don't know how to say it. I'm not even going to try. You probably said it better than I did. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works," okay? "Which God prepared us beforehand that we should walk in them," okay? And the idea of his works is talking about the Jericho, his plan to use us to build his kingdom, to set the people around us on fire. We are his ambassadors doing the ministry of reconciliation was the right word. But yes, the ministry of God. Let's see, whatever. I was going to start talking about reconciliation, like that's like an accounting term. But I'm really bad at accounting, hence the lack of dollars in my pocket. So I'm not going to talk about it. But okay, well, I already started. But reconciliation is this idea of like an accounting term, like bringing things back to where they're supposed to be. So your hearts are needing to be reconciled to God. The old self needs to be generated into the new self, okay? And it's your job. You are the ambassadors for Christ. Since we're talking about 24 and designated survivor, who knows what an ambassador is? Yes, sir.
It's like a dude. So, like, there's an ambassador from, like, the U.S., right?
Yep.
And then, like, we wanted to, like, go talk something out with, like, Switzerland or something. Ambassador would, like, fly over there and be like, hey, y'all, this is what the U.S. has to say. And they'd be like, oh, that's cool. Thanks, bro.
That's exactly it. You guys know what a liaison is? That's like a military word. Somebody, it's like a go-between, right? So Christ is our go-between to God. And guess what we are from Christ to your friends in school that don't know God? We're the go-between too. So it's this weird system. And it's kind of cool because you're pretty messed up, right? If you're being honest, you're flawed, right? So why do you think God would want to use you to do his work? That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. But it's how he demonstrates his love. We could get into this like really deep theological debate about that question right there. Like, why does God use us? He doesn't really need us. We could just be robots. He could just make us be robots and we wouldn't mess stuff up. Why did Adam and Eve sin? Would we have sinned if we were Adam and Eve? Like, all those questions run through your mind. But I don't want you to think about that. I want you to realize you are ambassador for Christ. Let me rein you back in. Okay. You are an ambassador for Christ to your school. You are the liaison for Christ to get to your school. So like Mr. Green said, if you are representing the country of God to your school, there's no one there to do it but you. If your family needs God, and you are a Christ follower, there's no one else there to do it but you. God sculpted you to be exactly who you are, flaws and perfections and all, so that you could do the work that he has needing to be done. And you're perfect for it. But you're also flawed, and you can mess it up. So how do you not mess it up? We just talked about it. Walking with God, trusting the Holy Spirit, letting your mind be renewed, trusting in the Spirit, not letting your heart be hardened by the world, by the old self. Sorry, my cord is flailing. Let's see. Yeah, I think that's all. Well, I can kind of beat a dead horse sometimes, which is funny, because I actually saw a meme of a guy. Like, he was in, like, armor, and there's a horse laying on the ground, and he's, like, hitting it. And I was like, what does that mean? And I was like, oh, beating a dead horse because the horse is laying down. And I know I joke around a lot, and I get you guys off topic, and I, like, make your mind stray, which is the polar opposite of what I'm trying to do. But we talked about people being flawed, so there you go. But you have to understand, talking about Jericho and breaking down walls in your school, you're the only one that can do it. Well, that's not true. You have friends. And that's the beautiful part. Is you don't have to do it by yourself at all because Christ is doing it through you. But you can link up with friends. Like, I'm sure you're sitting next to somebody that you go to school with. Probably. There's probably a couple people in here that aren't, okay? Or like me, I don't go to school anymore, but I still have nightmares about not turning in paperwork. That's true. I have dreams regularly about not turning in Mr. Cottrell's senior Bible project. I would say twice a year I have that dream. Anyways, but God made you. God has you sitting at the lunch table that you sit at. God has you at the locker that you're at. God has you on the street that you're at. God has you in the house that you're at to be an ambassador for him, a liaison from Christ to the broken world. And so if you leave with anything, don't remember any of the jokes I made because they're horrible, but remember that, like, it's on you. And that's like, oh man, Matt's putting a lot of burden on me. But guess what? It's not on you, because it's Christ in and through you, okay? But I want you to understand the weight of what you're doing. God has called you to rescue a broken world, okay, through the work of Christ. And we are his ambassadors, and we need to do his work, and we need to take it serious, okay? We'll talk about it in our groups. We'll break up into our life groups after I pray, after the band comes up. But, like, guys, seriously, like, talk about this. Talk about, like, strategically, how can you do this? Like, how can you try to spread the word of God in your schools? Like, pray that God would start putting things on your heart. Like, it's hard to get Christ in schools nowadays. Like, it's really hard. Even, like, things, when I worked here, I don't know, however many years ago, there's things that we used to do back then in schools that we can't do now anymore. That just, it's not accessible anymore. Like, we can't bring, you know, basically like student ministry stuff on campus as easy as we used to. But you're in the student ministry, and fortunately, you're at the school every day. And so it's on you guys. It's not on Pastor Rob. It's not on your parents. It's not just your friend's responsibility who's a Christ follower. It's yours. But you're not doing it on your own. You're doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you're listening to him, you'll know when to act. You don't have to try to manufacture it. He'll be speaking to you, and you'll know when it's time, okay? So let me pray for us really quick, and the band's going to come up. God, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. I hope I didn't distract people. I hope your truth penetrated our hearts, God. God, give us a hunger and a love for your word. If we don't have that, we're not going to be thinking of your kingdom, God. So I just pray that these students would have a hunger to read the word and to understand your truth, and that they'd get together with their friends that love Jesus and talk about you and talk about your word, God, and let them understand that they're ambassadors for you. You have them where you have them for a very specific reason, and it's to spread the truth of your gospel. So I pray that the barriers in schools would be broken down by the people inside the schools, God, and just give these students the peace and the strength to do it, because they're not doing it by themselves on their own. They're doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We love you. Thank you for your son. It's in his name. Amen.